Good morning to all of you. And good morning to those who are watching over the live streaming. Thank you for taking the time to be here and just like our brother said, to hear the word that perhaps this message that I believe that God has put in my heart touch your heart also, and perhaps the one of his words will make your day even better than it is, and your life also too. This beautiful song that we just sing right now is almost like it's speaking to us today, and it's almost I can say that it has almost everything to do with what I have in my notes, I'm thankful for that, because I know the God Spirit is in us, is here, and is preparing us to hear His word. As always, standing behind the pulpit is a little I'm a little shaky, but I know that that God will guide me in my thoughts. And even before I come to know God, who I was, I was a sinner. I was a sinner, and I perhaps I'm still a sinner. But Christ, when he was here and on earth and walking in the midst of his people, he went into a lot of places where perhaps Jews would not even go, people. He was always people were always judging him with who he was hanging out with. And he said it once, he came to heal the sick, because those who are whole, they don't need a doctor because they're not sick. And I believe that we all are in that point, and we are all sinners. Why you hang out with sinners, they ask him, and actually they ask his disciples. But he was making a point that he came to save the world. God sent him to save the world, and not to save the ones that are safe already. He came to save those who are lost. And I was one of them. And like we all are. We were all lost. We just heard a testimony from Brother Jared this morning. The enemy is always working, and he's always making us feel unworthy. In my regular life, normal life, before I come to the acknowledgement of God, and I never thought about me seeing myself here in a church, especially behind a pulpit. I would choose, because every day my hanging out with the brothers, with my brothers, friends and stuff, we will go either drinking, riding motorcycles, or just having fun. For us, it was fun, and I don't need to be in church. I'm just having fun. I'm here with my brothers. But was that the plan for God? The plan for me that I thought maybe I didn't have any need of God, and I was wrong. I was wrong. That's the problem that we have today. These days, the enemy make us feel this way, and so much that the other churches, not only our church, but a lot of churches are breaking down, closing, being sold, people walking away. And so is that your decision, your personal decision? Perhaps you feel that way, but we all know who's behind all this work, and he's doing it. He's fulfilling. So we heard last weekend, Brother Gordon, and he showed us a really good example about where we're standing and what is the church to us. I have nothing to say in my sermon about that, but that was a pretty good example. And how we begin today, hearing about what's going on up there with his sister, I don't know her, but when you're down, you are weak. And just like a lion, the devil, it will attack you and it will bring you down because you're weak. And he's always looking for the sick and the weak ones. And you know, when you feel that way, you're trying to find answers in the wrong places or doing the wrong thing just to make you happy for a minute. But really, you're just covering under that problem. I mean, you still have that problem. I don't know if he's a member. My brother Jared, he is a member. He knows who to go to. Who else is our better counselor than Christ? Christ is our counselor. Go to him. He is the one. Do we believe that he can make a difference in you? Yes. Because even if you are in that jail, a sin, he can make you free. He can make you free. Even people that are in jail, when they come to Christ, even they are prohibited of their freedom, they are free in Christ once anybody who accepts Christ. To me, no matter how big is the sin that you have made or how worthless you feel, that you don't deserve, you feel you don't deserve to come to Christ, you're so wrong. Because he has so much mercy, so much love, that he will receive you with his arms open. The scriptures have told us. All you got to do is just make that humble step and acknowledge and realize that you need Christ in your life. I'm going to open with my first chapter here in 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 25. It says, For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned into the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That is Christ. That is Christ. You know, from the beginning, he created us. He created us in his own image. So we belong to him. We belong to him. Every single one of us. You know, our church, I don't know, I can't remember what was the total of church members, including the ones in overseas. We're not that many members. But we are a few. We talk about sin a lot, including homosexual. Sorry. But do we really need to hate them or not even have a conversation with them? God has called us to be a good example, to be the light in the other world, to be a light standing on the mountain. Because this world is so dark. How are we going to make a point? How are we going to make a difference? How are we going to show who we are or who is Christ? You know, it doesn't say in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, it doesn't say that he hates sin, but he loves the sinner. We saw it when he was invited to have to dine with the sinners. So I understand there, to me, is that He loves them. He loves us. He loves you. He loves the sinners. But he hates sin. That is for sure. You can talk to a lot of people. You can approach anybody. You don't have to be part of their movements or the things that they do. But you have to set a really good example to them, to those who are lost, because there are so many. And in these days, as I mentioned, as I opened, a lot of, even in our church, a lot of people have walked away because they get weak. They get, perhaps they don't receive what they're looking for. They don't get what they're looking for. And it's our work to continue on not failing to lift them up, either in prayer or by approaching them and find out what is the problem. You know, the scriptures told us to be mindful of those who surround us, to your brothers and sisters. If you see someone that is falling, approach him and see if he can help. Be a miracle to him. Be a miracle to anyone. In Alma, in the book Alma, chapter 21, I'm going to read from 25 to 28. It says, therefore, Helaman and his brethren went forth to establish the church again in all the land, yea, in every city through all the land which was possessed by the people of Nephi. And it came to pass that they appoint priests and teachers through all the land over all the churches. And now it came to pass that after Helaman and his brethren had appointed priests and teachers over the churches, that there arose a dissension among them, and they will not give heed to the word of Helaman and his brethren. And I'm sure a lot of brothers deal with this, because they see them coming, offering this repentance, salvation, what Christ, what God wants of you. But if they have no need of that, because they have more than they don't think they need the gospel. So even right now, a lot of our ministers that go overseas, they run into this type of situations. And we have that here too. At 28, it says, but they grew proud, being lifted up in their hearts because of their exceeding and great riches. Therefore, they grew rich in their own eyes and would not give heed to their words, to walk uprightly before God. In Hebrews, in chapter 13:5, it says that problem is money. It's money. It says, let your conversation be without conventionist. That's the richness that Alma is talking about here. But in Hebrews says to be content to what you have. And don't desire to have more. To me, God always provides for you and I. But we are carnal desires, feelings, is never enough for me. We have to get more. We look for more. We live in a world that, you know, you have to make a plan as we get old. You have to have a way to survive when those days come that you can do anything physically, that you retire. And I get that. We have to work hard for that. But sometimes we kind of overdo it. We don't care about other things. But our point is to be mindful of those soldiers that are falling. Soldiers in Christ, I'm talking about. We have that problem here. We have that problem in many other places. And it's just the faith. The faith is getting a little thinner. In Helaman, chapter 2, verse 74 to 75, Since now my sons remember, there is upon the rock our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must be. And the whirlwind. Yeah, when all his hail and his mighty storms shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which you are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men are built, they cannot fall. Who is our foundation? Brother Gordon teach us last week about that. It's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as long as we are in that foundation, you will not be moved. You know, my dad in Mexico, he built houses and he built my home. And where I live is a mountain. And it's a solid mountain. And when he digged for the foundation, he didn't dig enough couple feet to follow roots. He dig all the way down into where he hit the rock, the solid rock, and that's where he stopped digging and he started building from there. So I know that my house, no matter how many earthquakes we get, it is not gonna fall, because it's sitting in a set strong foundation, and that is where we need to be. No matter what we're going through, like I just read, the devil will do anything to bring you down. And every time we name and we pronounce everything and we do everything and we keep things in the name of Jesus Christ, he suffers. He does not like to hear that. When I accept to be a part of this minister and God called me to this office, I got scared, because now I'm not going to deal just with enemies, but with Satan. Can I be attacked by him? Yeah, maybe. Am I prepared for it? Am I going to run away scared and drop my swords and run away? We can be victorious. We have the sword. We are washed by the blood of Christ, who hang in the tree for you and I, and wash our sins that were so bad that we become white as snow. Isn't that what that says in the scriptures? You all welcome. No matter how sinner you are, no matter how big that sin that you commit is. I commit so many big sins in my life. And I didn't know that if I was worthy to be called a Christian or a follower of Christ. Anybody's worthy, because God created you. You are his creation. So don't forget that we are built in a strong rock. Matthew chapter 7. 24-27, it says, therefore, whosoever heard these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was found upon a rock. And everyone that heard these sayings of mine and did them now shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, there's a lot of people up there that want to just build houses. Our houses here in the United States is made out of wood. For me, thought, why they make houses out of wood? You know, in the east part of the country, tornadoes come, and where do those houses fall? I mean, there's nothing left of those houses. Those tornadoes just come and blew the houses away, because they're not built strong. It's wood. But if you build a house with brick and and cement. I mean, a lot of our brothers are here, they've been in Mexico, and they're standing in some heavy, heavy roof that if something happens, there's nothing of you left if that thing falls. But you know it's not going to fall. It's built strong. That's a good example right there. That when you take your time and build your house in a strong foundation, it will not fall. And if we read our scriptures every day, you're building your foundation, your house is strong, your faith, your hope. You will not be moved no matter what you're going through. Because our ending is with Christ. That's our ending. There's only two ways. You choose where you're going to go. Christ is the cornerstone. And he was rejected by his people, but those who come into the waters of baptism, they are to his people. We are living stones. We are part of the house, each of us. And those who are not, wouldn't you like to be part of that house? Christ being the cornerstone? 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 to 6, it says, to whom coming as into living stone, dislowed. I searched that word because I want to know what it was, and it's rejected. Indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. It's talking about Christ. God chose him. You also, as living stones, are built up in a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up in a spiritual sacrifice as acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he hath that believe in him shall not be confounded. Let us be built. Let us be part of the house. And I tell you what, whatever this work brings to you, it will not take you down because you have a better hope than anybody else. And we need to pray for those who think they are nothing, who believe that they're nothing in this world, nobody wants them, because they're all precious to God. They're all precious to God. We have the true doctrine, and that's what I love about my little church. And I have heard the difference in many other sermons from other people, other churches. We have our true doctrines, and we find them in Hebrews 6:2. We have the baptism, the laying of the hands, and resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. That tells me that I'm in the right church, and we believe in the true doctrine of Christ. So how can we be moved? We have to remember the foundation where we are. Nephi reminds us to stay strong in that foundation. We're going to read in 2 Nephi 11:48 real quick here. And not forget this claim. And we walk of Christ. 11:48, 2 Nephi. And we walk of Christ. We rejoice in Christ. We preach in Christ. We prophesy of Christ. And we write according to our prophecies that our children may know to what sort they may look for a remission of their sins. And that is to Christ. We, as our little kids are growing up, that's our work. And they see it. And there's a lot of good examples here in this crowd. Good examples to them, good examples to older people, to young people. We have to set a good example. But they still have to be part of the world outside, school, friends. You know, I read an article, and it's, this happened in 2005, and this article magazine called the Catholic Magazine about the Americans. And an article from the Pope Benedict VI, he say, lamented the weakness of churches in Europe, in Australia, and the USA. And he say, there is no longer evidence for a need of God, even less of Christ. Have you heard that before? I have. He told to some priests in Italy, that all this is just tradition. And we have, you know, I come in from a Catholic background, and it's just a lot of tradition, a strong tradition, not just any tradition. You will live in the strong tradition. But tradition is just, you know, it's just something that you do normally, classic, accepted, it's normal, it's regular, that's what it means, tradition. And it was hard for me to leave that tradition behind until I come to the true gospel of Jesus Christ and how happy I am to be here. So because those words that this Pope said, you hear it, and that's how people feel like, there's no need to go to church, there's no need to sit, to go and spend an hour when I can be doing something else and having fun and enjoy myself. But let's go to 2 Nephi, chapter 12, 25 to 28, yes. And it says, and others will be pacified and look them. He's warning us here about the things that can happen if we believe in these things. And lead them away into carnal security, that they will say, it is all well in Zion, yea? Zion prospered and all is well. And thus the devil cheated their souls and led them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattered them away and told them there is no hell, and he say unto them, I am not the devil, for there is none. And that is he whispered in their ears until he grabs them with his ample change, from whence there is no deliverance. I see that happen a lot in friends and family. I really don't know how that works, and I really know how that, I cannot understand how they can come. They have these bad habits of drinking and drugs and all that stuff. I can never understand how do they become lost. And so much that I don't know them, who they are, because that's not the person that I used to know. And I just don't know what to do. I guess only God will be the only one who can make a change in those people. Even so, in my family. Am I a stick in the mud? I don't know. I'm a happy stick in the mud, maybe. Because I have no desires of those things. We all know that we have a lot of work to do. And we have to set a good example of them to. There is much, much, much better things up there for them than what we have here in this world. Because you're not going to take anything with you. So perhaps right now you are having fun and you are the best and you have everything you need, but you don't need Christ, you don't need God. I can say that you're wrong. Life, we are here today, tomorrow, I don't know. We might not be able to wake up. In Moroni, chapter 68 to 69. It says, do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in him there is no variableness, neither shadows of changing. And now, if you have imagined it up to yourselves a God which doth vary, and him that is a shadow of changing, then have ye imagined up into yourselves a God which is not a God of miracles? Oh my goodness. How many times I hear that there is no miracles these days. You know, it's all you. Something you did, and you did by your own strength, you did it. And you give yourself credit. You don't give yourself the credit to whom help you to get through wherever you done and you did well. A lot of our people here, a lot of young people, a lot of people that work looking for work. Wednesdays, we have a time to come and pray. Who do we ask for help? I have a test tomorrow. I have an interview tomorrow. I need prayers. You have to humble yourself and come and ask for those things. You humbling yourself, you put in your faith in Christ and God that he's going to answer you. I pray that once you have that answer and you are where you are right now, don't forget. Don't forget who give you that blessing. He is the God of miracles. He's still doing miracles. In Hebrews chapter 13, it reminds us almost the same words, that God never changed. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. So if he provide miracles and blessings to his people in those days, he's still doing it right now. He's still doing it today. And that's how our faith, it gets stronger when we believe that. Just by being sitting here, you are a miracle sitting here because he has touched your heart. Accept that and know that he has something to do with this, you being here today. 2 Nephi, chapter 12, verse 1 to 6. And now, behold, my brethren, I have spoken unto you according as the Spirit hath constrained me. Wherefore, I know that they must surely come to pass, and the things which shall be written out of the book that shall be a great word unto the children of men, and especially unto our seed, which is a remain of the house of Israel. For it shall come to pass in that day the churches were built up and not into the Lord. When the one shall say unto the other, behold, I am the Lord's, and the other one shall say, I am the Lord's. And thus shall everyone say they have built up churches and not into the Lord. And they shall contain one to another, and their priests shall contain one with another, and they shall teach with their own learning, and deny the Holy Ghost, which give utterance. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel, and they say unto the people, hearken unto us, and hear ye are precepted. For behold, there is no God today. I just read that right now. A comment from a pope. There is no God today, for so much they almost not even Christ. For the Lord and the Redeemer has done his work, and he had given us his power unto men. Behold, hearken ye unto my precepted. If they shall say there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not. For this day he is not God of miracles. He had done his work already. Do you believe that? I don't believe that. He's still a God of miracles. In Moroni, chapter 7, I'm just going to read here real quick. Do you believe that when you pray, he sends his angels to minister you? Even if there's no one around you, you can reach to come and pray for you. you pray to God and you humble yourself, He can send His angels to administer you. And if you do it with faith, you will receive that blessing that you're looking for. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, Moroni 7:27, my beloved brethren, had miracles, because Christ has ascended into heaven and has sat down in the right hand of God to claim of the Father His rights and mercy which He had upon the children of men. For He had answered the ends of the law, and He had claimed all those that have faith in Him. And they that have faith in Him will cleave into every good thing. Wherefore He advocated the cause of the children of men, and He dwell eternally in the heavens. And because that He had done this, my beloved brethren had miracles cease. I'm going to jump to 7:41. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for it is by faith the miracles are wrought, and it is by faith the angels appear and minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, we be unto the children of men, for it is because of unbelief. And it's all vain. For no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in His name. Faith and Christ and the rock. We are standing, don't forget, brothers and sisters, we are standing in a rock that solid. In my understanding, in my humanist understanding, you won't be moved. Let us not stand in a sanding foundation. Let us continue, grow strong in this faith and this hope and these promises that we have. That will make our foundation, our walls, stronger than anything. In John 15, 1 to 6, 1 to 6, John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that bear no fruit, He take away. And every branch that bear fruit, He purchase it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abide in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you cannot do anything. Those are strong, powerful words. Without Christ, we are nothing. Without the foundation, we are nothing. We have to stay strong in that belief, in that promise. And we have people that have walked away because, as he says right now here, he is the branch. And once you depart from that branch, you are nothing. I'm a landscaper. Yeah, I work in landscaping. Once I cut a branch from a tree, in no time, it goes to wilt, it shrinks, it looks dead. If it's not attached in the tree, that branch is dead. It's the same for us. If we're not in the vine, which is Christ, you walk away from the church. And then you say, I'm not getting anything else. Are we repeating ourselves here? Perhaps, but it's needed, because we need to hear it over and over and over, so that faith doesn't grow weak. So forgive me if I have read scriptures that I read before, perhaps, but it's needed. That's the way I can put it, because it helps us to remind us who we are and where we are and who we belong to. In John, same book, verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, the man laid down his life for his friends. This is the verse I live with you guys. That we are not longer servants. We are Christ's friends. And whatever we ask in his name, we will get. I hope that this message was a blessing to you this day. And I pray that you think about it. You're not alone. You're not alone. We are here. We are here for you. Because I know there is a lot of people that live in there in this world without the spiritual life that Christ has offered us. Thank you.